And welcome back to the What's Up program with your host, Terry Lowry. With us on the hotline from Atlanta, Georgia, is the author, Mark Cahill, the author of One Heartbeat Away. Friends, you can get it at markcahill.org. Mark Cahill, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Terry. We just got an email from a buddy of mine. He, a week ago Sunday, was getting ready to go to church and struck up a conversation with a guy across the street. And he ends up just giving him One Heartbeat Away. He heads off to church. Well, yesterday, Sunday, he was there and talking to another next-door neighbor. All of a sudden, this guy came across the street. He said, man, Greg, thank you so much for giving me that book, One Heartbeat Away. That book, the evidence in there, he said, that chapter on creation versus evolution, I had no clue there was no evidence and fossil record. I have learned so much from this book already. I can't put this book down. How do I get two more copies? My wife wants one, and then I have a relative that wants one. All of a sudden, the other next-door neighbor, he just moved in, doesn't even know his religious faith. He said, hey, how do I get one of those copies?
Hey, how do I get one of them?
He walked back in the house and grabbed three copies, and he was just so excited when he sent me this email. So.
Oh, okay. One Heartbeat Away. You pass it forward. You catch the fire. You catch the vision. You get, Mark, what the reader gets is like your neighbor, information that they can share. Like evolution, is there any evidence for evolution? You cover it so aptly in chapter two, but what evidence is there for evolution?
Yeah, that's what we talked about a couple shows ago, and that's the thing that people, what I really found out, I was telling a friend up in Ohio this week, is that I believed in evolution personally just because it was what I was taught. Now, not that there was any evidence for it, I just was taught. I was just repeating what other people said. And so what happened is I just wanted to look for the evidence. Like in the past week, there was the big deal about the fish, the dolphin or something, had the two extra flippers on the back. And so, and the big news thing on all the news shows was, see, this used to be feet that became flippers. See, because they don't understand science, it's already in their genetics to have flippers. Just like if a human being have six fingers? Of course they can. Can they have six toes? Of course they can. And we see people who do. Why? It's in the genes to have fingers and toes. It's in the genes of a dolphin to have flippers. Now, if that dolphin had feathers show up all of a sudden, now you got a point. We're going to have to start talking about it because that's not in the genes for us. So see, even there, they're just grasping for straws because they want to say evolution's true. There is no God, no creator. We die and that's it. And of course, that's not true.
Now, Mark, what you're talking about there with feathers is the transition. There's no transition. Like, if man came from an ape, and if ape came from a reptile, and a reptile came from a fish, and if a fish came from a tadpole, going backwards, there's got to be transitions from the reptile to man. So you're going to find a half reptile, half man. Is that called the transition?
Yeah, that's what you're calling the macroevolution, coming from one to another. Transitional fossils is what they're looking for. And, of course, the fossil record says there's none. Charles Darwin even said that was the way to prove his theory true, even though the theory is much older than Charles Darwin. People don't know that. But to prove it true is you look at the fossil record and you find millions upon millions of transitional forms. Of course, the problem is, we now have the fossil record. We've had all this archaeological digs and everything, and the only thing you don't find is transitional forms. So again, a theory without any evidence to back it up, but in our society today that wants to have your news in 30 minutes or less, wants to get our meals in 2 minutes through a drive-through. There's a church out in California I read about that they promised you a service in 22 minutes or less is what they promised at this church. I mean, what do you do if you go 23, give the tithe back? Come on, we're a society that doesn't want to study, search, and dig to find answers, and the evidence for evolution just is not there.
So no evidence exists for evolution. Well, does evidence exist, Mark, for creation?
Well, that's the only option on the table. That's why they hang on so hard to evolution. And of course, there's evidence for creation. You creator, because you just look at the creation. And anytime you see something that's made, a building, car, a watch, a piece of clothing, there was a builder, a creator that made that. You look at the intricate design of a cell or how the eye works. Even Charles Darwin said the thing that he knew was getting him in trouble was the eyeball, because if you watch the intricate nature, how everything must connect together perfectly in order for us to see and keep an eyeball clean and to blink and all that stuff, how could that have possibly happened by random chance? Because what you really see is something called the law of biogenesis, and what that means is when two dogs get together, they have a dog. When two cats get together, they have a cat. When two humans get together, they have a human baby. And real simple, that's why you don't have the transition between other different forms.
Well, if there's all this evidence for creation, does that really mean that there is a creator?
Yeah, there's no other logic you can go to. Even the great atheist Anthony Flew from England, I actually quote in my book, and he, for years and years and years, has been an atheist, wrote atheist textbooks. He's written textbooks, numerous textbooks in the science world for colleges. He has now renounced atheism, and now he hasn't become a Christian yet, but he has grabbed a hold of theism because he finally realized this creation was so intricately designed, there had to be a designer who did it, which leads you to a creator. Now, he hasn't found out who that is yet, and the beautiful thing in Chapter 3 is we show you how to prove the Bible true. We can show you exactly who that creator is.
We're gonna go through the proofs for the Bible and talk about the other religions after this next break. But before we get there, I want to go back to a prior segment that we were discussing, the watch. You take a watch and take it apart. And I suggested for a science project, friends, for all of you that have middle and high school kids, if this is the year for their science project, get one of your old cell phones. Mark, I think you like this idea too, don't you?
Yeah, it was a good one. I liked it.
Get your middle school, your high school student to get one of your old cell phones, completely take it apart, screw by screw, weld by weld, transistor by transistor, and put all the parts in a box, but put it in kind of a glass box or wrap it in cellophane so it's all clear. And the science project is to shake it. Shake and shake and shake and shake and shake it and see how long it takes to shake it back together. Now, what is our DNA strand? 3 billion DNA genes, whatever?
Yeah, 3 billion pieces to each one of our DNA.
3 billion pieces, and the evolutionist is saying that, if you want to do a co-science project, have your student do the eye, all the parts that are necessary for the human to see. All of those parts just happened by shaking. In that ridiculous, Mark?
It is completely ridiculous. As a matter of fact, Bill Gates from Microsoft recently has come out and said that when he started doing some study on the human DNA, he said it's an intricate, almost software program. And he said in all the software designers, and he was one himself, that we have today, we could not even create something like this. Well, now, wait a minute now. If it takes human intelligence to make a software program, but there's something much grander than that, wouldn't it take the intelligence of a god to make that type of program that goes in DNA? Of course it would, but the problem is people love the darkness rather than the light, so they don't want to admit there's a God, because that means they would have a problem. They would have to surrender to that God.
So what you're saying, Mark, is when we look at evolution, there are those that want us to believe, especially our kids, they want our kids to believe it, because if they taught intelligence or that there was a creator behind this creation, they would have to admit it, and if they admit it, then they have to look at their own lives?
Oh, definitely. They now have to look in the mirror, for one. For two, the other thing you do is if we did evolve from other animals, now you can eliminate the soul and the spirit. And, of course, we know that's not true biblically, as there's a holy trinity, as we show you when you prove the Bible true, that we also have body, soul, and spirit. There's a trinity in us, so to speak. And so it's just because they can't grasp God, because if there's a God, they know their sin would not be right with God. So what's easier, instead of finding out what it would take to get rid of my sin, they'd rather say, okay, there is no God, I don't have to deal with that. Problem is, 100% chance we're all going to die. Every one of us has to deal with the afterlife.
Every one of us will die someday. Our hearts, which beats about 100,000 times a day, at some point will beat its last. Well, Mark, before we close, let me ask this question, if I could. Does this creator that created the universe and created you and me, does this creator want us? Does this creator want you and me? Does this creator want every one of our listeners to know him?
Well, that's what we're going to get into in this chapter, because it depends on who that creator is. If Islam is true, then the God is in Allah, just in the distance. He would never get involved in the world to part the Red Sea, because that's below him. He would never come visit it like Jesus did. It couldn't be God who did that. But see, if the Judeo-Christian God is true, the God of the Bible, oh my goodness, we are here to find out who he is, because you're going to know him very, very well when you die, whether you wind up in heaven or hell. But he wants you to know his son, Jesus Christ, so heaven is going to be that destination when you do take that last breath.
Mark, your first book, which has over 100,000 in print, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, why did you write that?
Well, basically, I had two men of God threaten me in I think a godly way, Terry. I'm not exactly sure if it was godly, but they said, you have too much good teaching, too many good stories. You need to put a book together that will encourage and equip believers to share their faith in Jesus Christ. We've now passed 160,000 copies around the world, three or four different languages. We get emails all the time from people, Terry, that said they've never shared their faith before in Jesus Christ, read that book, and are boldly sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. This had a pastor email me. He had just walked away from personal evangelism in his life. This was running his church. Read that book. He is now sharing his faith. He's training up all his deacons and elders how to share their faith. And God just really lit a fire there. So really it was a challenge from some men of God that we need to put something on paper to get the message out to more people.
We interrupt this program for a special announcement.
All segments today, yesterday, and for nearly 2 years can be found at terrylowry.com. Log on to www.terrylowry.com and search the archives by guest, organization, topic, and or date. Visit terrylowry.com today.
And now back to our regular program.
It is very important to share your faith. Aren't we called to share our faith?
Well, it's funny. I have a man here in Atlanta. He's discipling some teenagers, and how he disciples his teenagers is through evangelism, that he takes them out witnessing all the time. They're out there sharing their faith. They see God work on people's hearts. They're getting questions they don't know how to answer. It drives them back to their Bibles to learn apologetics. And these teenagers' faith has just exploded because they were sharing their faith. No, we are commanded by the Lord to do that. And really, what people forget is it's for lost people. It's for us, so our faith will grow, but it's also for the glory of Almighty God.
Well, and there are those that think you have to go through master life or evangelism explosion and memorize half the Bible before you go witness. And I think that's just a trick of the devil. Yeah, you need to know some scriptures and be able to turn to those should you be asked. But you can always go back and share the Bible and scriptures with him later. But I have found that my simple testimony of the day that I surrendered to Jesus Christ is one of the best witnessing tools around because it's my personal testimony. Do you agree with that?
Well, one of the things we definitely can do, Terry, is share our own testimony, and through our testimony, work scripture in through there. I'm always making sure I share the testimony of Jesus Christ. If we're waiting for a perfect witnessing conversation, that has yet to happen in my life and never will. I think God wants us to be faithful because we plant seeds, we water seeds, and God gives the increase to what is planted and what is watered. So I think the real thing, be faithful, be passionate. We have to be much more passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of the world. But give people two things that the world can't give them. Give them eternal truth, which the world can't give them, and give them unconditional love. And when you do those things together, I find people very, very hungry for the truth of Jesus Christ. There's going to be plenty who won't, but there's people who will be hungry for that.
How can we share the love Jesus has for the lost if we don't speak up? Our hearts beat about 100,000 times every day, but one day it will beat its last. Then what? One heartbeat away makes a great read. It's a great Christmas gift. You need to pass it forward. You need to get one for your church library, your public school, your private school library. To order copies for Christmas, log on to www.markcahill.org. That's Mark Cahill, spelled C-A-H-I-L-L, markcahill.org. Now, though, let's give away a copy of One Heartbeat Away to a lucky caller.